Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 8 is where we are today. We're closing the unsealing. We're closing the opening of the book. The seals are coming off. The sixth seal has come off. We've dealt with the sealing of the tribes of Israel, the gathering of the great multitude, and now just sort of all together now we're looking at we're going to start dealing with the trumpets. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, when he had opened the seventh seal. And it's interesting that you see this repeated again in the book Revelation, that the seventh seal begins the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet begins the outpouring of these seven vials. And so it's interesting to me. I don't know that I know exactly what it means, but one always leads to the other here. We see a progression in God's work. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, we're going to spend some time dealing with just the understanding of these trumpets and what they were all about. There's way too much to just put into one particular Bible study. And so I'm going to break it down probably into several studies. So we're going to be just a while dealing with the biblical meaning of the seven trumpets and what they are all about. We're going to go back to Exodus. We're going to start at the beginning of the Bible and just kind of roll our way forward. But I want to go to something that to me is obvious. And I don't have all the answers to everything. And I can't answer all the questions concerning timing of the rapture and things like that. I believe in the rapture. And I have been written some pretty nasty letters and comments made because I believe in the translation of the Gentile church. I believe it according to Scripture. And that's one of the things that we're going to deal with when we're dealing with the trumpets, because these trumpets are involved in the translation of the church. But some people, they have listened to way too many YouTube videos and read way too many websites. Now they're experts on the Bible, and they're saying that it's a heresy to believe in the translation of the church. And I say that you ought to believe in the translation of the church because it's taught biblically. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Here's what God said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I want you to just kind of make a note here of some things that we're looking at. He mentions a shout here. So we're going to write down the word shout. We'll see it again. Okay. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The word trump is simply another way. It's another version of the word trumpet. Trump or trumpet basically denotes the same idea. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, up in the clouds. That's where he's going to appear. He's going to descend to the level of the clouds where he is going to appear there. We are going to meet him there, and we're going to be gathered together unto him there to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Not only is it a good doctrine to believe, it's a comfortable doctrine to believe. It provides comfort to us in knowing that one of these days, the Lord is going to come for us. He's going to sound the trump, and he's going to call for us, and we're going to be gathered together unto him. I can't think of anything better to look forward to than that day. And I am looking forward to that day. But I want you to notice that he associates it with the trump of God. And then over in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the second witness. The Bible says out of the mouth of two witnesses or three, let every word be established. And so if you have a doctrine, it's established in the Bible at least twice, sometimes three times. So we have 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, Paul said, I show you a mystery. If we were to go back and look at what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see five things. With a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So we have five things associated with the rapture. Here, The Apostle Paul uses the word mystery. And if I remember right, I think this is the fifth time the word mystery is used. I may be wrong. I'm going to check it as soon as I get done. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which means death. The Bible talks about sleeping the sleep of death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Both those who have died in Christ already, my dad will be resurrected and raised from that dead first. I with him, it's like right after him, but my dad goes first, okay? I love this. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the transforming that takes place, the translation. That's why that term is used, talking about the translation of Enoch back in Genesis chapter 5. There's another 5 there for you. When you think of Elijah, who was translated from earth to heaven, there were 50 of the sons of the prophets that were watching this, and they were going, hey, don't you know, they were saying to Elijah, don't you know Elijah's going to be taken? Yeah, I know. So that number just keeps accompanying this event. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That means an eye blink, as fast as an eye blink. That's how fast it's going to be. So don't think that you're going to see all these graves pop open and go, I wonder, maybe this is the rapture. Oh, Lord, please forget. It's not going to happen that way. Be ready now. Be ready now. At the last trump. That's what he says. So here we have trumpets again involved. For the trumpet shall sound. This is why I say that the word trump and the word trumpet, basically, they're meaning the same thing. Some try to, you know, say, well, it says trump. It doesn't say trumpet. Maybe that's something different. Well, right here in the same verse, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I look forward to that, and I like it. So, but coinciding with this, there's going to be a lot of things taking place. And if we look at the typology of Elijah, here Elijah is taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. He's translated without seeing death. And yet now Elisha is to remain behind. Remember, he plows with 12 yoke of oxen. He represents Israel, the real seed of Israel, which is referred to here. Back in Revelation chapter 7, we have the sealing of Israel, and you have the gathering of the Gentiles up in heaven. And so here we have a picture of that. Remember, for every doctrine, there's always a picture of it somewhere in the Bible to illustrate it. So in Revelation 7, we have the gathering of the Gentiles in heaven. We have the sealing of Israel. And back in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, chapter 2, we have the translation of Elijah into heaven, but then his mantle falls upon Elisha, and now Elisha has what he asked for. He has the double portion given to him, the sealing, the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He has that given to him in the last days. So kind of keep those things in mind. We're going to see sort of a dual purpose behind the sealing, behind the opening of the book, behind the trumpets, and even the pouring out of the vials in the last days. So there's our doctrine right there. There's our doctrine of the translation. It's going to happen despite all of these people who I don't know what Bible they're reading. In spite of all these people who say it's not going to happen and that it's a false doctrine, that some 12-year-old kid back in the 1800s visioned all this and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I just know what the Bible says, and I just believe the Scriptures. So let's look at what these trumpets represent. I've dealt with this before in just various teachings before. It's always good to go back and remind ourselves again of what it is that we learned. I like to go back through old notebooks that I've made, but also to get some fresh understanding of what the Lord is saying here. We go back to Exodus chapter 19. This is really one of the first places in the Bible that you find trumpets being mentioned. And so in Exodus chapter 19, let's look at the beauty of the language of the Scriptures. We have a video that we put out a few years ago. It actually is a teaching that God gave me early on in this ministry. God not only provided for me the one book to study, that is the King James Bible, But he also gave me the tools on how to study this Bible and how it uses language and so on to mean what it says. So I called it the apocalyptic language. The word apocalypse doesn't mean disastrous events that take place. The word apocalypse means revealed. And so there's a revealed language in the scripture. If you'll just follow the language structure of the King James Bible, you see a stone in the Old Testament. You see the New Testament talking about what that stone is. That stone's Jesus, okay? Unless it's carved into the shape of an idol, then it's the other Jesus. And just little things like that that we see, we're going to just do that as we go. We're going to compare, we're going to use numbers. We're going to use typology. We're going to use biblical symbols and what they mean in our study of these trumpets. Exodus chapter 19, verse 13. This is where they've crossed the Red Sea. Now they've gathered at Mount Sinai just before Exodus 20, when God gives them his Ten Commandments. Exodus 19, verse 13. It's talking about the mountain. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. Think of the language here, beast and man. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall, look at the language here, they shall come up to the mountain. I love that. Moses went down from the mountain unto the people, sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Remember in Revelation 7, they have been given clean garments, pure and white. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. There's a time prophecy there. Third day from, if we were to take the third day from Abraham, the third day from Abraham was Jesus. Okay, so Abraham in Genesis 22 is going toward Mount Moriah, and he lifted up his eyes on the third day, and he looked and he saw the place afar off. Well, 2,000 years later, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 2,000 years later, here is Jesus being the one sacrifice who is offered up. A third day from Christ. Christ came 2,000 years ago. 2 days have expired. Now we are at the third day since Christ. So follow the language. Be ready against the third day. God's telling Israel, and he's telling us, he's given us an idea of roughly when this is going to happen. Come not at your wives, that means be pure. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings. Think of what we're going to see in Revelation chapter 10, the seven thunders uttering their voices. Lightnings. And a thick cloud. Think of Jesus who's clothed with the cloud. When the cloud, God said in Genesis 9, when the cloud comes over the land, you shall see the bow in the cloud. That bow is Jesus. He is the likeness of the glory of God. That is in Ezekiel chapter 1. I don't know that we'll get through this anytime soon. I just love looking at the language and the pictures and the beautiful things that are in the scriptures. A thick cloud upon the mountain. So we have the clouds. He shall appear in the clouds. So we have the clouds. We have the gathering of the people. We have the trumpet. We have the seven thunders. The voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. So here's the camp. And remember, Jesus was crucified outside of the camp. So we all have to come out of the camp. We have to come out of Babylon. We have to come out of our dwelling place, out of our nativity. We all have to come out of that to meet God. Moses is the one who's going to get us there. How so? Remember when you got saved, okay? When you got saved, you didn't just wake up one day and, you know what? I just love Jesus so much, I think I'll follow him. It's not how it happened. When you got saved, the weight of your sins was bearing down on your soul. And it was the law that drove you to Christ. The lawgiver, Moses. That's what he always represents. He always represents the law, but specifically not the law that brings us salvation, but the chastisement and the curse of the law that drives us to Christ. You realize that because you're a sinner, and those sins were going to condemn you to hell, that drove you to the cross. So here Moses is going to gather the people. He brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. when we read Revelation chapter 9 and the trumpets are blowing, we're going to see the smoke of a furnace rising up. Okay? It's all there. The whole mount quaked greatly. Is there an earthquake associated with? Yes, I believe there is, with the trumpets. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. Now, if you go over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, what you'll see is that at this gathering, Israel said, whoa, we can't have this. This is scaring us. We don't want anything to do with this right now. So God held off. Exodus 20, verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. If you ever want to do a wonderful, neat study in the Bible, just take those two words, afar off, and study them in scriptures. Peter tells us that the phrase afar off references things that are going to happen in the future. So back to Abraham, he looks, he's on the third day, he looks and he sees the place afar off. Moses was looking into the future. Here, when the Israelites, they removed and stood afar off, what this is telling you is that this wonderful event where God is going to, he's going to restore Israel, he's going to gather his people, that event is a far-off event. It is going to happen in the future. And it's sort of like the King James Bible's way of telling you that this is a prophetic event and that you can actually see into the future by looking at these stories here. I just love that. This is, as in early on in this ministry, as God is really dealing with me about the King James, I've already just sort of had this impression from the Holy Ghost that it was right. But I'm looking for evidence, and I'm looking in the Bible for evidence, and every time I see things like this, I'm going, maybe this Bible is 100% right. Maybe every word in here came out of the mouth of God. Maybe it, and I'm just, God is just edifying me through this study. Just little words like afar off, and you just chase it all through the scripture, and you go, wow, oh wow, oh wow, praise the Lord, look at that. So that's I hope I'm being a blessing to you today, and I hope the Word of God is being opened up to you today in a magnificent way because of what it is. Not because of what I'm doing to it, but because of what it is. It is the absolute Word of God. It is our binoculars into the future. So the trumpets, we have the cloud, we have the smoke of a furnace, we have the gathering of the people all here in Exodus 19. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. There's actually a whole feast that's designed after the sounding of the trumpet. It's a prophetic feast. Leviticus 23:24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the what month? Seventh month. Okay? So here we have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, Revelation chapter 7, the sealing of Israel, the gathering of the Gentiles, all associated again with this number seven. It is in these end time events take place at the beginning, or they precipitate the seventh day, the 7,000 years since Adam, the millennial reign of Christ. That's why you see that number seven there. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath. Okay, now, and the word Sabbath means seven. So here's another one. And note that this Sabbath doesn't necessarily have to fall on the seventh day of the week. Any day of the week could be a Sabbath as designated by this feast. And then it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. I mean, stop right here. A memorial. What is a memorial? It's something that we look at, or something that we do to memorize something, something so that we don't forget. Why did God specifically tell the Israelites, the Jews, to celebrate the Passover every year? And he said, it's going to be a memorial. Do this every year and don't forget it. Why? So that when Jesus Christ came on the scene and became the Passover, those who were following him were going, I get it. He's the Lamb. This bread that we were eating is his body. This cup we were drinking of with the bitter herbs was the cup of his sacrifice, of his covenant of the new. They're just going, and Paul got it. Paul got it. He's talking about keep the Passover. He said, keep the feast, not with the unleavened bread of malice, unleavened bread of truth and sincerity, or whatever it is he said. But he's basically saying, keep it with the Bible. Okay. The Passover was a memorial because you're going to see it. You're going to need to remember this because you're going to see it again. It's like what a teacher is writing something on the board. And he says, now, children, remember this. Why is this teacher telling you to remember that? Because you're going to see it on the test. Study to show thyself approved. So it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. So the Jews, for thousands of years now, have had a celebration where they acted out a prophecy. It's the prophecy of the blowing of the seven trumpets. And what was this feast all about? It was a holy convocation. In other words, we're going to all get together here. Ye shall do no servile work therein. That tells you that it's in anticipation of the 1,000 years rest that God's going to give them. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. Their sins are going to be forgiven. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Then he says, if you'll take your Bible, turn to Leviticus 25, concerning this Feast of Trumpets, this Day of Atonement. He says in Leviticus 25, verse 9, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Stop right here. What was, I love it. What was the Jubilee all about? It was about taking those who were in bondage and making them free. It was about giving those people who had lost their inheritance, their land, it was about giving it back to them. I love this, okay? Israel's going to get the land back. They're going to get their real inheritance, which is not just that little piece of barren property next to the Mediterranean Sea. He's going to give them eternal life. That is our inheritance. The Lord is our inheritance, the Bible says. So that's what the Jubilee year was all about. And the Jubilee year was always marked on the Day of Atonement by what? By blowing the trumpet. God says this is a memorial, Israel. So guess what? Guess what, Israel? One of these days, there's going to be some trumpets sounding. 7 of them. And you know what that's going to tell you? Getting your land back. You know what else it's going to tell you? Whereas you were in bondage to the law, I'm going to make you free. So look at here. Here we have in verse 10. And ye shall hallow what year? The 50th year. There's that number 5 again. Okay? The 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. By the way, does anybody know why this bell that hangs in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania was known as the Liberty Bell? Because it was rang to proclaim, and they actually quoted scripture, proclaim liberty throughout the land. That bell was rang as a token of America's freedom from British government rule. They were ringing that bell saying, God now is our king and he has made us free and you can't be our king anymore. Okay? That's just a little piece of American history. But anyway, the 50th year, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Okay? So two things. Number one, you're made free from bondage. And number two, you get your land back. All your debts are paid. Because you lost your land because you were in debt. Think about it. Think about it. You lost your inheritance because you were in debt. You're in debt and a servant of sin. And Christ comes and sets us free. So Paul writes in Galatians using this same language, this word liberty. Okay? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to works salvation or being saved under the law or being saved by things that we do. Don't go back to that. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. In your life, a trumpet sounded, the word of God. I'll show you that in a minute. And Christ spoke, and the Lord appeared to you, and he saved you, and he called you, and he atoned for your sins, and he brought you out of bondage to set the captives free. That's what he did. Don't go back to bondage. Be free in the Lord. And so these trumpets are going to sound in the book of Revelation, and Israel is going to get their land back, and they're going to be free for the first time. And even right now, Israel, they're not free. They're not free. And I'll just get a little political here. One of the things that Israel's in bondage to right now is the United States of America. Okay? They're in bondage right now. They want to go after their enemies to preserve their land, and America's going, oh, no, don't do that. We can settle this some other way. Just a little political comment there. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Let's look at what these trumpets really represent. I've been with some people, some well-intentioned people, some well-meaning people. I was actually called to do a meeting for a group. And the people gathered together, and they started off the meeting. It's probably some little tradition they had. Somebody stood up, and they blew this little ram's horn thing. And that gathered everybody in. And they said, oh, it's got to blow the shofar. They were really kind of acting out what they were seeing in the scriptures. Now, we don't start our church services out that way. We just don't practice that. It's not required that we do that. Because you understand what the real trumpet really is. Let's look at it. Let's get our Bible prophecy glasses on here. Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Here's what God said. Make thee two trumpets of silver. Stop right here. Two trumpets of silver. Why silver? Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And here's what you got to do. Okay. You have to believe that, number one, that God's word is pure. You have to also believe that God's word has been preserved, because I don't know if you know anything about trumpets or instruments in particular. But if you have like a trumpet, and it's old and beat. I have a trombone that's like this, and my son used it for a while, and it was old when I got it. He used it for a while. We've kind of retired this trombone. It's getting old, and the welds are coming apart, and it's getting little holes in it, and it doesn't really sound the same as it used to, because it's corrupted and it's old and it's getting holes in it and it's out of tune and it doesn't sound very good. It makes a different sound than other trombones that are new and fresh and whole and things like that. Don't you see where I'm going? Because the Apostle Paul mentioned, if the trumpet make an uncertain sound, okay, how will the people know what's being trumped? And that's my point. The word of God is the trumpet. This is why he said two trumpets. Old Testament, New Testament. Two trumpets made out of silver. Why? Because it's purified seven times. Okay? God's going to keep them and preserve them. So here we have the two trumpets of silver, and this is interesting. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. So the trumpets in Revelation 7 are again associated with the calling together of the people. Now, and for the journeying of the camps. When they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so this was like the signal to Israel. Okay, they're outside, and all of a sudden, two guys come out from the tabernacle and they blow both of these silver trumpets. Now, anybody in the world can tell the difference between one trumpet sounding and two of them sounding. Anybody can. So they go out and they hear two trumpets. Everybody knows then that it's time for everybody to go and gather at the tabernacle. Okay? But, verse 4, and if they blow but with one trumpet, just the Old Testament, then the princes, which are the heads of thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. So they knew that if only one trumpet blew, that it wasn't time for everybody to gather yet. But when both, now Israel right now only has one trumpet. So they can't gather all of the people together yet. Israel has to have the second trumpet. And when I promise you, one of these days, when these two silver trumpets blow, when Israel is going to accept the fact that the New Testament is the Word of God, and they will hear that, and they will receive that, and they will once again be gathered together. See, it's all about gathering. And so my point is that these trumpets, you know who this trumpet is? It's Jesus. Because John starts out the entire book of Revelation by saying, I heard a voice behind me as of a great trumpet. I turned around and looked. It was him. Whose voice sounds like a trumpet? It's the voice of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. And so one of these days, the Word is going to go forth to Israel. It's going to gather them together again. And then, well, let's finish up with this. Let's go to Joshua, whose name sounds an awful lot like Jesus. That's because Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yahshua. Don't believe the nonsense garbage that the name Jesus is Zeus. Hey, Zeus! You're calling unto the Greek god Zeus. Don't believe that. Don't believe it. Okay? Your authority, the Bible, does not teach you that. Some man does. He's trying, you know what he's trying to do? You know what the people who believe in the sacred name are really trying to do? They're trying to get you back into bondage by saying, if you don't quote the name right and say the Hebrew words, the Hebrew magic words correctly, you cannot get God. Okay? That's bondage. Don't have anything to do with it. Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read the scriptures. Seven priests, look here, seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. Are you kidding me? The exact number of trumpets are right here. Okay? So think about this. The trumpets, it's the Word of God. They represent the gathering of the people. I believe when you preach the Bible, people will come. Okay? You don't need all the programs. You don't need the purpose-driven life. You don't need all this garbage and the coffee shops and all the stuff that all the churches now and the multi-millions of dollars. You don't need that. What you, preacher, and you, church, need to do is just preach this book. And when you blow these trumpets, the people will gather. I promise you, they will. God will gather His people with them. So we have the gathering of the people. We have the atonement of the people. We have the setting the captives free associated with the trumpets. Now, the trumpets are going to gather together, and they're going to destroy. What are they going to destroy? The seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day, there it is, ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Write that down. Underline that. There it is, right there. Okay? And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Are you getting this? Look at this here. Look at this. Two things in the Bible. Okay. There are those that stand, and God causes people to stand. The Word of God causes us to stand. And there are people that fall. So look at here. The trumpets are now sounding. And what happens? God's people ascend up, and the walls of Babylon the Great. Babylon is fallen. The walls of Babylon the Great fall down. All associated with the trumpet. Listen, Babylon, that nasty, smelly, stinky, drunken, fornicating harlot woman, and all of her ilk and all of her spirits. Now, listen, they're coming down one of these days. And all, you know what it's going to take? Just the Word of God. Okay? Yeah, and let me just get practical realm teaching here, just in everyday life. In just about every aspect of life, you're going to deal with Jezebel. You're going to deal with Mystery Babylon. You're going to deal with Jericho. Okay? You're going to deal with that. It's going to be in your marriage. It's going to be in your church. It's going to be whatever. Okay? She's going to show up just about anywhere. The way to defeat her is with the trumpets. get the Bible out. Get the Bible out, get the Bible out, get the Bible out. And she cannot handle the Word of God. It'll cause her to fall. What happened to Jezebel? You know what happened to Jezebel? How did Jezebel meet her demise? She was taken and thrown out of a window, and did she float? No, she fell. I love the King James Bible. And Joshua the son of Nun, verse 6, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, encompass the city, and let one that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the re-reward, which means the rearward, or in other words, what happens, the last part of the procession. It's called the rearward. Okay? The rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So follow this. For 6 days, they all line up, they make the procession, they circle Jericho one time, they blow a trumpet, but they don't shout. Then they go back to the camp. Next day, do it again. Next day, do it again. 6 days they did this. The seventh day, verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Second day they compassed the city, and Bonnie, verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day. That's the sun rising with healing in his wings, okay? And compassed the city after the same manner seven times, only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass that the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I got to stop right here. I could just go on and on. Just you ponder this. You sit and just turn everything off, and you just sit and think on these things. Think about the language here that God's giving you here. Rahab the harlot is going to live through this. She's going to be saved. The woman who went and committed a fornication and adultery, all that's Israel. She's going to be saved alive because of the token of the scarlet thread, the scarlet cord. I love that. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So these seven trumpets are going to sound, and it is going to spell out the destruction of Babylon the Great and the kingdom of the Antichrist in the last days. The gathering, the clouds, the atonement, the liberty, the falling away. It's all right here, people. Every detail of everything that we can and need to know about what's going to happen in the future, it's all right here in the Word of God. I will not walk away from this Bible. And rest assured that when you see something online called the Pure Bible Study, and you say, I wonder what that is, and you watch it, I guarantee you we're not going to be doing a purpose-driven life study. I guarantee you we're not. We're going to study the old book and get wisdom out of it. This is Pastor Mike. I love you, and God bless you, and thank you for your prayers, your support always. Thank you very much for your help with us. I hope we can always be a blessing to you. Bye-bye.